This is Authors in Focus.
Hi, I'm James Reed, fantasy author publishing under JMD Reed. Jewels of Illumination Books 1 through 3 box set is out. Open is a broken man who just might find redemption guarding a scholar from bandits, a criminal syndicate, and a dark necromancer. Avina is a woman haunted by guilt who has to learn she can trust Oben. Together, they can break free of their past or be lost. You can buy or borrow Jewels of Illuminations Book 1 through 3 from Amazon. Today, I'm joined by Sean P. Valiente. He is the author of the fantasy novel, The Lightning Knight.
How are you doing today, Sean?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing fine. You have the same name as my roommate.
Oh, look at that.
Even spelled the same, so.
It is spelled the best way, so.
That's what he claims. Although, you know, he has the same last name as another famous Sean, so he gets weird looks from people all the time.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, I always like to start these out with a fun question or two. So are you a dragon person or a wizard person?
I think I'm a dragon person.
All right. Not a fan of wizards.
So. I am a fan of wizards, but if given the choice, I think I lean more towards dragons. One time I went to a Renaissance fair, my first Renaissance fair, and I was driving with my roommates at the time, and in an effort to make a joke, I was like, guys, I think you all should start calling me Dragon. So that became my nickname for a very long while.
Never actually been to a Renaissance fair.
They're amazing. I met the Bud Knight at one of them last year, or the year before Corona came.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't go wrong with a giant turkey leg.
Fair enough. So, how long have you wanted to be an author?
So I think being a full-fledged author probably started around high school. I had the idea for a story, kind of the kernels of it in my head around eighth grade. And then all throughout high school, it just kind of blossomed. And I ended up I went to a very small high school in the middle of Maine. So the total amount of people in the high school is 500, right? So one of the English teachers decided to start a creative writing club, and there was maybe like two of us. And I remember going to that club and bringing a piece of writing in that I had done the night before, basing it off of this kind of idea of a character that I had had, and I had a lot of fun doing it. So that kind of propelled me into this idea that, oh, if I just, you know, keep tinkering with this idea, one day I can, you know, maybe turn it into a book.
Fair enough. So you're from Maine.
I am. Yeah. Not born there. Sorry. I was born in New York, but my mom was from Maine, and we ended up moving back there, me and my family, when I was in first grade. So I grew up in a rural part of Maine near Poland Springs, where the bottled water comes from.
Okay. Actually, I think I've heard about that place. It's like the place they first bottled water at, right?
Yeah, I think so. It's pretty nice. It's not too far inland from, you know, New Hampshire and the rest of civilization, but Maine's a great place to be.
So have you ever run into any Stephen King-esque monsters or anything out there in Maine?
It can be just as scary as those stories, but luckily those monsters are fiction for the most part.
All right. So, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. Anyways, let's talk about The Lightning Knight, which is about Oliver Quatermain, who doesn't believe in magic, and yet it just saved his life. Tell us about him and his story and what The Lightning Knight is all about.
Yeah, so really quickly, to make a little Maine connection, I spelled Quatermain with an E at the end for a little shout-out to where I grew up.
Oh, okay.
So it's... it's a very classic kind of fantasy story, you know, in the realm of like an Aragorn or like a Lord of the Rings, or, you know, those classic like heroes and magic and dragons and, you know, adventure stories that I've always really loved growing up. And it's kind of the story I always wanted to kind of reread, just in like, you know, a new way. So this story follows Oliver Quatermain. He's the protagonist, and he's a very loose kind of Obi-Wan to this other character, Poe. And Poe is like the Luke Skywalker type, right? So, and that's about the closest thing they are to Star Wars. Everything else is different, but that's the frame we're working in, right? So Oliver doesn't believe in magic. He's kind of a rich kid from a city called Starfall, and he doesn't know what he wants to do with his life. He's really good at things. He's really smart. He's kind of like Freddie Prinze Jr. in She's All That, you know, top of his class, really popular, but is really indecisive about where his life wants to go. He's 16 years old. In this world, this is kind of the time when you have to figure out, hey, what do I want to do with my life? And I think any 16-year-old could tell you, like, they really have no idea what they want to do at that age. So he's in a sword fighting tournament. He has been gone all summer fighting in tournaments, and he's quested with finding magic and finding a boy named Poe, and he's never heard of Poe, and he doesn't really believe in magic at all. It's kind of this pseudo myth thing in stories from like fairy tales and stuff. And most of the time, whenever somebody refers to magic, it has to do with like a magical object that's most likely not really a magical object sort of situation. So he returns back home, and he ends up being given a quest to find magic by one of his professors, and he ends up meeting Poe, who is this wide-eyed, you know, 12-year-old squire of a kid who is really just like genuine and wants the best for everybody. And so through this, Oliver is really starting to find out there's a lot more to the world than he thinks there is, and he starts to train Poe and protect him. So he starts to train him in like sword fighting and other sorts of fighting. And Oliver, along with his two friends, Yokel, who is like your very classic nerd type person, and Rock, who is your very classic jock type person, they, you know, form a little group of friends called Whiskey Danger, and they're out there just trying to figure out what magic is and, you know, how to train and protect Poe. And along the way, they meet a couple of strangers, these two girls, codenamed Pathfinder and codenamed Windrunner. And they don't know who these girls are, but they seem to know a lot about magic as well, and they agree to help train Poe. And they go through all these adventures, a lot of trials, a lot of ups, and a lot of downs. So what makes it even more kind of that teenage realm is that there's this romantic plot involved, where Oliver has this huge crush on this girl, Iris, who he's, you know, had a crush on for years, and she ends up dating Oliver's arch enemy at school, Ridhan. So there's that dynamic. Oliver also ends up forming a crush on one of the mysterious women named Pathfinder, and you start to see throughout the entire book, like, he's got that very classic teenage, like, wandering heart, is what I like to call it. Like, he's totally in love with one girl, and then the next minute he's like, well, you know, it's not actually working out there. I'm in love with this other girl instead. And he can't really decide. He doesn't have that, you know,
level
of maturity, you know?
I have that with a character where, like, he's a 16-year-old kid, and he's like, He talks about this woman who's sort of like this political figure, and he doesn't like her because he thinks she betrayed them. But then he meets her, and she's like a hot girl, so he's like, oh, never mind, I'm all going to help you out. But then later on, he meets another like hot girl, and he just starts hitting on her.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very classic, like, you're 16.
Yeah.
You have huge, big ideas, you have really big feelings, but you don't really have, you know, the maturity or the experience to understand how those feelings are or how to act with those big ideas, right? And that's really kind of the heart of the Lightning Knight, is, you know, these teenage kids with grandiose ideas of like what to do and how to act, and they really just, they still have all these like really big overwhelming feelings all the time. So that gets them into different sorts of trouble. And throughout the book, you know, we leave Starfall and we go on an adventure up north to a different kingdom. We go south to some Dragonfire Island or Dragon Treasure Islands, and we meet some dragons. We meet a whole bunch of other different types of characters. And what's really interesting is that Oliver is coming to terms with the fact that he's being told to do one thing, but his natural reaction is to not want to do it. So it's for him, it's a learning experience of how to deal with not only loss, but also with failure and to a certain extent with grief. And so it's kind of, you know, that it's a fantasy kind of story that you've probably read 100 times. It's a little bit of a twist on the hero's tale, because we're not really focused on the hero of the story, which would be Poe. We're really focused on Oliver, who's trying his best to help Poe. And I liken it to, you know, hanging out with an old friend, or, you know, eating ice cream. Like, you know what you're going to get, and you're going to love it, and it's great.
So what was the inspiration behind it?
Yeah, it's really interesting, because it's probably like an amalgamation of, you know, my own life experiences and ideas and a lot of the things I love, you know, from pop culture, things like Lord of the Rings or Star Wars or superheroes, to some of the smaller things that you might like read that are a little bit more niche. And so the inspiration was really about this character of Oliver and having his story be told, and understanding, like, you know, that pinpoint in your life where you're at a crossroads and you have to choose what to do with, you know, kind of the rest of your life, and it's so early on and you really have no idea what you want to do. So the inspiration is really kind of seeing somebody grow from like that point onward, and going through the whole process of, you know, learning and growing and things like that. And then, you know, beyond that, I love, you know, sword and sandals and knights and magic and fantasy realms, and the idea that I can tell stories that are really allegories for kind of real life things, but set in this fantastical world.
Yeah, I totally get that. So, when it comes to your writing itself, are you like a plotter or a pantser?
So, I've seen this question a lot, you know, on writing Twitter. I am, and this is going to sound like a cop-out, but I am both.
Yeah.
So
that's fine. I'm a hybrid, too, so don't feel bad about it.
Yeah, what I like to do is, because by day, my day job, I'm a finance and accounting professional, so I'm a big Excel nerd. So I just have an Excel sheet, and I have, you know, chapters that I have loosely, you know, plotted out, more like, you know, like maybe a few keywords and 1 to 2 sentences, like, here's what I think will happen now. And I kind of go through, you know, start to finish, saying, here's where I sort of want the story to develop. And then beyond that, because as an author, and I'm sure you've felt this way too, at all times you're always thinking about your story in your book, whether you're watching TV or hanging out with friends, or, you know, just like driving in the car, at all times it's on your mind. So I have these different scenes in my head that I really love, that I want to showcase in, you know, a story. So for me, it's like, okay, I do this really rough like keyword plot line. And then I'm also trying to see, okay, I want these scenes and I want them at these spots. So I kind of know where I want my characters to go from A to B. And then in between there, I have no idea what's happening. So for me, that's where the pantsing comes into play. And it's really that part of the writing is really exciting, because to me, it's like watching a TV show and I'm just transcribing what's happening. So I just start. I'm like, okay, I got to end up here. Let's see where the characters take me. And oftentimes they just, you know, take me on a wild goose chase or in places I have no idea where they're going to end up. I mean, my first original idea for the Lightning Knight, I never even had the character of Poe in it, and now he's like a very integral part of it. I just started writing, and then all of a sudden, boom, Poe popped up one day, and I was just like, wow, nice to meet you, Poe. I've never heard of you. Tell me about your story, and I just kind of followed along.
Yeah, no, I had that, not with the major character, but I had, like, I needed the ship captain to take my characters from, like, point A to point B at the start of a novel, and I decided to make her a little quirky in that she's sort of like, the joke with her is that she changes clothes, like, twice a day, and no one quite understands where she gets all these dresses from, and, but she's very kind of flighty. She's very much likes the finer things in life. She always has, like, she has really expensive liquors and candies and stuff, and she's always like bragging, but you kind of get like, so she was this fun character, I need another ship captain later on in the book. Like, well, I already created this one. And she kind of hints at the fact that she's like really a smuggler and she's kind of, you know, up for sort of adventure to begin with. And then I used her again. And then, I kept needing captain. And so she just kind of became like one of the members of the party, basically.
Well,
here's
a question for you. Have you ever, like, given her a backstory or given her way more depth, or have you always kept her at, like, this sort of superficial, she's the captain, she does these weird quirky things to her?
She got more depth.
Okay, yeah, I
hinted at her backstory, like, through, like, her actions, I kind of had an idea that she was sort of like what one of my main characters is currently, like, but just sort of like a military scout. And so she kind of, and by scout, they would fly around on Pegasus and sort of scout the air. So she already kind of has a sort of, so that, I thought that was a really good background for such a wanderlust character. And then she just sort of became like a smuggler and wanted to have adventures. And she's really kind of this sort of fearless or reckless, and her crew is kind of half smitten with her and half exasperated by her in turns.
That's funny.
Yeah, and she's like, so she presents herself very much as sort of a very flighty, empty-headed woman, but it's kind of more like a game to her to pretend that way, when in reality she's rather sharp and pays attention to things.
Yeah, so. I mean, that's cool. It's always cool when you find a character that you had never really planned on, and then they morph into this, like, full-fledged being that you just fall in love with, and you're just like, wow, I'm, like, if you would have never written this story, even though a lot of it is already in your head, like, you would have never met these more interesting characters, which is, like, half the fun of writing.
Yeah, that definitely happened from time to time. Like the character I told you about, the 16-year-old boy, like, I never, like, he was the younger brother of one of my main characters. And I never really, I kind of had this background where he was in a gang and she was trying to get him out of it. But I never really knew where I was taking this story as I wrote this trilogy. But, like, as I wrote it and I had them interacting, and then he sort of grew into his own character arc, and then he became a POV character in the final book, because I found that he was really useful, given what his position was and how that story went. Like, he made it very good. And it kind of, like, it felt like his, and by making him a POV character, I was able to finish his arc. So it was really interesting. I didn't expect him to become, like, this character that I enjoyed having in the story so much.
That's awesome.
So, what is next for you in your writing career?
Yeah, so I have two things going. So, The Lightning Knight is actually the first book of a planned series that's going to span upwards of 9 or 10 books. Okay. I have most of them kind of ideaed out, if you will. So right now I'm 6 chapters into the second book. It's really fun. I've had a really great time delving back into this world and continuing the story. So that's been really cool. And then I also have an idea that I'm going to be starting maybe within the next month or two of a middle grade fantasy series that's going to probably be 12 to 16 books, kind of like Magic Treehouse meets the Disney Channel show The Jersey. So that one's pretty exciting as well. So at all times I have lots of ideas, and luckily I have a little bit of time in my life to to try and go after them.
Cool. Yeah, I'm not sure I can do middle grade.
Yeah, it's an interesting genre, but I think given the protagonist of this story and kind of how I want those stories to develop, middle grade is sort of where it'll end up, probably around that like sixth grade range.
Okay.
It'll be interesting for me to try and taper and change my own kind of internal vocabulary to write for that, you know?
Yeah.
Right now I write really kind of like new adult, even though that's quote unquote not an industry genre term that they like. That's really where I'm writing for. You know, that just graduated high school, in college, just graduated college sort of feeling.
Sure. Well, that's cool. So would you like to tell our listeners where they can connect with you?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter. I'm at @stayathomesean. And I have an author Facebook page. If you Google my name, you should be able to find me. And I'm on Instagram. I have The Knights of Nine. That's the name of the series. That's the Instagram. And, you know, you can get my book at Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or if you prefer an independent bookstore, call them up and ask them to order it for you, and they should be able to.
All right, thank you. It was really great talking with you, Sean.
Yeah, this has been great. Thanks so much.
Yeah. You have yourself a good day.
Thanks. Bye.
This has been Authors in Focus. You can find my fantasy novels on Amazon. Follow news of my writing at my blog, jmd-read.com, and follow me on Twitter at @jmdread. You can also join my reader group on Facebook, Fantastical Worlds of the Imagination. You can find more episodes of the podcast at fantasy-focus.com and wherever your favorite podcast is hosted.